an innovator in the passenger vessel industry, Terry McRae is the CEO of Hornblower Cruises and Events, the only fleet of hybrid vessels in North America.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Francisco. We're with Terry McRae, the chairman and CEO of Hornblower Cruises, the concessionaire for the National Park Service.
We have the brand Alcatraz Cruises, and then we were also successful in winning in New York City the concession to carry passengers, ferry passengers, to Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island National Monument. That's called Statue Cruises. A little bit later, we also picked up the rights to do the Niagara Falls route, which is at the base of the falls.
So that's like the old classic Maid of the Mist.
Yeah, we replaced Maid of the Mist in Canada. We run steamboats on the Mississippi River. We run high-speed ferries for the military. We run ferries for municipalities. So we do a lot of marine things, and as I said, I think we're the largest small passenger vessel operator in the country.
We were talking earlier this morning about transportation and about the interconnection between land and sea and public transportation. Talk to us for a moment about that disconnect and the hope for the future.
So if you think about it, back from when the United States was first colonized and settled, the expansion off of the coast, off of the 13 colonies, came when people started pushing inland. And they did that with boats. Once they figured out that they could build steamboats and riverboats and get as far as St. Louis and, you know, Montana, and as far north from the Gulf as St. Paul and all those inland cities, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis, New Orleans, every one of those cities is a seaport initially, or a river port. That's really what got the United States to grow the way it did. You watch the expansion and where commerce occurred, and it was always on the water.
So in some ways, we were more connected back in the day than we are today, though.
We were way more connected by water in a slower sort of way. As time went on, of course, the railroads came, and they didn't always follow the rivers. They had to build bridges to cross rivers, which actually impaired navigation in some cases. But the railroad was kind of the next era, and it brought in industrialization. Of course, that helped the boats, because then all of a sudden we had steamboats also. And then we became more of an international trading partner. Really, like the Erie Canal is what made the New York port what it is, once you could bring goods to New York City and find them in the Great Lakes a few days later. You know, we've lost some of that connectivity. We don't think of ourselves as much as a seaport country anymore.
Tell us about the disconnect today in public transportation, and that how close something might be to BART. You're talking about taking a boat over to Oakland.
Well, oddly enough, most of the places where the new trains come now is nowhere near where the old ferry routes were. So in many cases, they've abandoned the water and the opportunity that it creates. But you'll find, I think, in many locations, New York and San Francisco for sure, where you aren't going to build any more bridges, probably no more BART tunnels. If you want to connect those communities, you're going to be doing it by boat. And the shame is that you can't really connect boat to BART very easily. There's only one station in all of the BART area here. In New York, it's the same way. There's only one place in New York City, really, where boats and subways and trains come together, and that's at the Battery, where we operate for Statue of Liberty. But it's a planning disconnect. You know, people think about planning as a 5 or 20-year cycle. People should think about planning as a 50 and 100-year cycle as well.
Going forward, is there a hope for connecting the dots?
I think that there's going to be more times when marine transportation is a solution. There's more technology now that's giving a better marine transportation alternatives. But you talk about adding more transportation to Silicon Valley. I mean, you can put hundreds of buses on the road, or you could put some high-speed ferries on the bay. The roads are already packed, so the 100 buses only exacerbate that problem, and there's nobody on the bay.
That's a really good point. That really is. It's like an open freeway.
Plus, if people think about quality of lifestyle, where do you think you're going to find the greatest enjoyment? Looking at the trunk and the bumper of the guy in front of you for hours every day, or sitting in the comfortable high-speed ferry with your Wi-Fi and your nice glass of California wine?
It seems like such a no-brainer. Is it a pipe dream, or is it something that people are engineering and talking about and trying to introduce?
I don't think it's a pipe dream, but one of the problems, Tom, is that the the public don't think of boats as part of their transportation system, so they don't subsidize it. If you think of a standard train or bus like BART or Golden Gate Transit, they're subsidizing the public either through sales tax or general funds or whatever is subsidizing 50 to 60% in many cases of the cost of that transportation.
But not so in maritime.
No, they don't think about subsidizing maritime. Now, the Bay Area has some maritime subsidies. New York, for the first time, is thinking about it. But I think once people realize boats should be just part of the fabric of the public transportation system, whether you go by bus, boat, train, ferry, you know, Uber, whatever it is, it's all interconnected. I think there'll be more opportunities to get a good transportation via boat.
And especially San Francisco Bay Area, where we are right now, it's close to gridlock in certain places. And so this really is a hope for the future, isn't it?
In my view, it is. Try to get home from San Francisco to the East Bay some night with all the construction and parking challenges and roadway challenges. One traffic accident and you're into it for 2.5 or 3 hours. So I think ferries will make a comeback in every area where there's water. I think people will learn to embrace it. It'll become part of their future and not just their old legacy from the past. We were talking about the past a little bit. When we look out on the water here, you can see Fort Mason over there. The finger piers off of Fort Mason. Next to it is the location where the Alcatraz boat, water taxi, left to bring the kids to school and inmates back and the guards back. So they had their own transit system, much like the Park Service does now, so they can maintain good control and good security. So it's one of our legacies here to be part of that transportation system. It's a huge enjoyment for us to serve 6,000 people a day and provide great visitor services in a marine environment. I mean, that's the best thing that we get to do, is we get to do the hospitality and the visitor services on the boat and not just be transportation.
I was going to say, it's much more than riding a subway. It's an experience in itself just getting there.
That is exactly right. That is the way it works for us. And it's great for us to take our guest service routes and our food and beverage and hospitality experience and add the transportation element to it. So we have a great team of people and a great relationship with the Park Service, and we're looking forward to continuing that.
Terry McRae, Chairman and CEO, Hornblower Cruises, San Francisco, thank you so much for sharing. What a great day to be out on the bay.
And thank you, Tom. I appreciate the chance to share a little bit of bird comments and the great view here from Alcatraz with the little fog just outside the Golden Gate. It's really a great day on Alcatraz.
National Park Service Public Affairs Officer Alexandra Picavet.
The Alcatraz tour boat, it has wind generators and solar panels on a ship. That's really cool.
We have the greenest fleet in the country, and I would say actually in the world, taking people to a tourist location like this. Alcatraz Cruises has done an amazing job of taking their ships, retrofitting them so that they could be as green and clean as possible with wind turbines, with solar panels. They also have reduced the need of power in order to run them. They have much more efficient engines. It's been one of the best things that we've been able to do.
Alexandra, thank you so much.
Thank you.